Once we're done with that, I will, I'll come back.
Al Silvestri?
Present. Oh, and by the way, I'm sorry, Andrew. When you call people, please, especially for board members, ask them to identify their affiliation so that the public knows who they are.
Okay. Al Silvestri. I'm sorry, would all of you, when I call your name, specify in what capacity you're here? Al Silvestri.
Okay, so this is Al Silvestri. I am chair of the advisory board for persons who are blind or visually impaired.
Eileen Akers.
I'm the chair of the SB board member.
Catherine Guzman.
Here and parent rep for the board. Thank you.
Thank you. Beth Rival. Beth Rival. Mary Silverberg. Mary Silverberg. Steve Thorpe.
Good morning, present board member.
Samuel Pride. Samuel Pride. Randa Utter.
Yes, I'm present and I'm an advisory board member.
Matthew Fazzino.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Matthew Fazzino, Equal Employment Opportunity Specialist, representing Commissioner Gifford for the Department of Social Services. Thank you.
Steve Famiglietti. Steve Famiglietti. Andrea Giudici. Andrea Giudici. I believe I've called all of the active, all the current board members. So I would invite first any staff of ADS to introduce themselves.
Good morning. This is Amy Port, Commissioner of ADS.
Good morning, everybody. Cheryl Sepulak, Interim Director at BESB.
Tyrell Sampson, Program Supervisor of the Business Enterprise Program, ADS.
Lori St. Amon, Program Specialist, BESB.
Hi, Mary Burgard, Vocational Rehabilitation Supervisor at BESB.
Chris Lassen, Adult Services Supervisor, BESB.
Zach Moore, Secretary for Vocational Rehabilitation, BESB.
And my name is Andrew Norton. I'm the Legislative Liaison for Aging and Disability Services. And I think that's all of the staff who are present. And going once, going twice. Are there any other members of the public who would like to introduce themselves? Then the gavel's yours, Mr. Chair.
All right, thanks, Andrew. Moving on to our next item of business is public comment. I have had a request from a board member to speak during this portion of the meeting, so I will give you the floor, Steve Ball.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, board members, commissioner, and other invited guests. Thank you for the opportunity. I just wanted to review quickly that we have gone through a lot in the last 2 to 3 years, the pandemic. We've also gone through a lot of changes, and especially in the technology area, and also in around the agency as well as the community. The medical services, the way they're coming out now, has also made a lot of changes in all of our lives, and it seems like we're going to be keep moving in that direction to a new normal. So as chairman of the past chairman of the meeting that we put together with the bylaw, I wanted to remind the group here, or Cheryl, that we're supposed to be completing an ethical document that's required by our group, not for years. I'd like to remind that be done this summer. It's a one-page deal, and we need to do it. We also have two vacancies on the board, and we have one individual, from my understanding, has not attended three meetings or more. So we need to get a letter out to that individual regarding their interest. In addition, as far as the advisory board goes, the question I had for the commissioner and Cheryl was whether they see this group proceeding forward so that we're not wasting our time trying to do stuff and then the whole system is gone. I think we need to get some input as to whether we need to get members from other groups that are being served by BSB or how we want to proceed with this. I think this group could be a very good working group. I also am wondering whether the commissioner has assigned anybody to do anything about Blind Equality Day and working with the other groups in October, which is supposed to be Employment Month Day. The second thing is, I wanted to remind everyone that we all must work together to make this advisory board to work and also for the benefit of the agency. Most of the people, I guess this is the deadline that they've all submitted whatever retirement that's going to be leaving the agency, and we need to take a look at how we're going to function in the future. And I think it's very important for the commissioner and Cheryl to communicate to everyone, including all the employees, as to, on this advisory board, as to where we're going from here. I think it's very critical that we work together to make it work and to feel that everybody's important, because I know during these last couple of years there have been people putting in a lot of extra hours, and they need to be recognized for carrying this agency forward. And we all expect a lot of changes to come down from the top, whether it's political or whatever, but we need to be prepared. And that's what my biggest concern is. I've served on this for a lot of years. I would like to continue on if the commissioner and shall agree to it, that we have the skills to carry this forward. There are others on the board that want to do the same, but I think it's important that we keep these things in mind and that we work together, including with the legislature and where we need to go. I think, you know, I'm just seeing so many different challenges at this point. With all our departments, especially our connections with the elderly population as big as it's supposed to be, and that's part of aging and disability, so we have to learn to how to coordinate our services within the department as well as outside the department to make us better and stronger. So I thank you for this opportunity. And I want to wish everybody success and good health. I apologize that I may have to leave in an hour or so because I've had laryngitis since Saturday and I'm sort of squeaking like a mouse. But anyway, thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Steve, for those most important comments. And I will invite the director and the commissioner to address those items that Steve has brought up during the appropriate part of the agenda, which will be the first item under new business. So thank you, Steve. And with that, I would like to ask if any other members of the public would like to speak, that this is an opportunity for them to do so. Going once, going twice. All right, hearing none, then we'll proceed to the next item on the agenda, which are the minutes from 17 March and also and the minutes from 19 May. We'll start with the minutes from 17 March. Do I have a motion to adopt?
Eileen Akers, so moved.
Okay, so the motion is to adopt from Eileen Akers. Do I have a second?
Second.
Utter, I second.
We have a second from Randa Utter. Are there any changes or corrections that need to be made to the minutes? Hearing none, without objection, we can ascertain that the minutes are accepted. Moving on to the minutes from 19 May. Do I have a motion to adopt?
So moved, Stephen Thal.
Steve Thal moves to adopt. Do I have a second?
Eileen Akers second.
Eileen Akers seconds the motion. Any discussion? Add additions, changes, corrections. Hearing none, without objection, the minutes of 19 May are adopted. Next item, new business. The review of 19 May 22, special meeting, discussion. For this one, I would like to give Amy the floor, and then following Amy's remarks, I'd like for Cheryl to offer her comments, and then we can open up the floor for discussion. Amy?
Great. Thanks, Al, and thanks for coming together today. We, you know, hopefully we're continuing to communicate. I know Steve just talked about making sure that there was communication, and that's why we made sure that we were able to join the special meeting, and that's why I'm here today, to make sure I can try to address questions as they come up. We value the input of this advisory board, and I don't foresee any changes in the immediate future to the advisory board. Obviously, we need to address any vacancies that we have and any of the action items that we've committed to through the board or through any of the work groups. So, Steve, we appreciate the reminder of the document that you talked about. So we'll check into that and kind of see where we are. But I appreciate you bringing that up. The communication, again, we're committed to doing that, and I think this is a good vehicle for that. It's an opportunity for us to join and answer whatever questions that you may have. And hopefully, you know, Cheryl can provide a little bit more detail on where we are with the position, so she'll talk about that in just a minute. But so we'll communicate that to you today. I'm sorry, I'm just going through the list of what Steve just talked about and trying to address, make sure I don't miss any of those. The connections to the services for older adults, we agree 100% with that. I think it's, you know, we've got a great adult services team. We have great teams throughout BESB, really making sure that we're doing the work that we need to do. But as we said in the special meeting, and as we've said in multiple meetings, the world has changed around us. I know, Steve, you talked about that. Definitely, the way we work, the way we interact with the community, the way we get our health care delivered, everything's changed for us as a result of the pandemic. And I do think there are some opportunities when we think about the services we have for individuals who are blind or have visual impairments. When we think about that in the context of the aging and disability services, what can we do to make sure that we amplify the collaborations that we have with our state unit on aging, with our long-term care ombudsman program? How do we make sure that the assistive technology that we need is available to people, and beyond assistive technology, just the regular technology, and being able to use what's out there to be able to thrive in this new very data-driven world, and very, very the world that requires us to be using the computer and beyond the computer all the time. How do we make sure that everybody has access? So I think there's a lot of work for us to do, and I think the advisory board plays a very valuable role in that. And I think if we can focus the agendas on some of those topics, I know Cheryl tried to gather some information from everybody about, you know, where are the gaps, what are our strengths, what are our weaknesses. But if we can focus some discussions around that, it will help inform what we do moving forward. So that's my sort of opening. Cheryl, do you want to talk a little bit about where we are with some of the positions?
Yeah, good. Thanks, Amy. Good morning, everyone. And thank you for having the opportunity. I'm pleased to let you know that all of our position requests are moving through the approval process quite nicely. We have a new HR director and someone helping us out from another agency, and the team in HR is doing a really great job. They've been very responsive, trying to catch up with the backlog and move things forward. So I just wanted to give some positive news there. In terms of the director position, our education consultant positions, I believe there's 7 in the queue, and a couple of our administrative / clerical debate should be posted within the next couple of weeks. They've moved through the approval process, and we have to go through a process of being reviewed by our affirmative action unit, and then they get sent to DAS, the Talent Solutions Group, to be posted. And I am confident that within the next couple of weeks, again, the director position, the education consultant positions, and the administrative support positions will be, as discussed at the May meeting and maybe even prior to that. We are committed to sending the links to those postings to this group as well as the others that we work with, so that you can help us get the word out there. We will also include the DAS link to all state job postings. I know that came up, I think, at the main meeting, the job posting site, they've made it a lot easier to use, and once you get into kind of a cadence, I go on weekly. They actually mark new postings new. They flag them. So it's a really nice system that they've set up. You can also submit, I think they call it an interest card or something like that, if you want to be notified of certain postings through keywords or specific classifications, that can be done as well. But I just wanted to let you know that we are committed to getting you any of our new postings so that you can help us spread the word, so that we're ensuring a greater pool of applicants reaching the community that we serve. So that's the update I have right now in terms of staffing. I think things are going really well. Here at BSBE, the program leads are fast to work and they're very areas. It's the end of getting people in for that never stops. So I'll take any questions. That's the update in terms of staffing and just kind of a general how things are going here at BSBE. Thank you.
Cheryl, this is Eileen. You are breaking up. So I got some of what you said, but it was a little hard to pick up on everything.
Yeah, it's fun. Eileen, because I'm hearing the same. I'm getting, I don't know if it's me or just where we're at. I can send a quick update to Al and have him send that out to the group if that's helpful.
That would be helpful from my point of view.
Yes.
Okay, great. I'll do that after the meeting. Thanks, Eileen.
Cheryl,
any other questions? Cheryl.
Yeah. Yes. Go ahead. Can you identify those other positions you didn't mention, though? Social worker, O&M instructor.
I heard O&M instructor. I'll check on where that is in the status and include that in my email to Al.
Yeah, and also rehab teachers.
I see Chris is on the meeting. Chris, do you want to give a quick update on those?
Sure. Thank you, Cheryl. I hope that I can be heard here. We're in receipt of the applications for both the 4th rehabilitation teacher, whose position is slated to be located in New Haven, and for the rehabilitation technologist. So we're getting ready to schedule the interviews for both of those positions. And we had requested that a 120-day temporary worker designation for our recently retired social worker, but in the interim, she's determined that she is good with where she is now, and is not actually any longer interested in returning. So that fifth social worker position, we're in the process of requesting refill for that. So that's where we stand in adult services. And although I don't supervise the clinical employee, as Cheryl mentioned, the refill for the the designated adult services clerical employee is working through the process, but I think Cheryl already covered that.
Okay, thank you. I have one other question. When we get new employees who don't have a lot of experience with the blind, is there any training program that is given to these individuals that come on board, for example, special assistants who may not be able to read maps or who may not understand sighted guide techniques or any of that? I'm very concerned.
I'll jump in, Andrew or Chris, if you want to give any more specific information. But Steve, I can assure you that when we bring new employees on, especially in those areas, we match them up with our more experienced employees to kind of do some mentoring, some onboarding, some guidance in their early days and weeks of being here. You specifically mentioned special assistants. I will tell you recently that the two new people that we brought on, most recently, we paired them with the other special assistants and had them go out with them so they could get some, you know, the feel for the job and some concrete guidance as to how to work with our employees. I will also share that when we did the interviews for those special assistants, our employees that would be working with them were involved in the interviews. So we're really working to connect all of that together in both the recruitment, the hiring, and the onboarding part with our new employees. Andrew, Chris, anything more specific?
We are scheduling, and I wish we'd done it earlier, but we kind of put them out to work quickly and to learn with the blind field staff that they were serving. But we do intend to do an O&M instructed sighted guide training specific to that. We did put a couple of those new employees, you know, right into work to start driving our blind field staff. I haven't heard that any of our blind field staff have suffered for lack of sighted guide technique as to their own personal needs. But Chris and I are working on scheduling a sighted guide training because obviously they might at the moment don't serve any other person besides the people they're regularly assigned to. So we're going to grab an O&M instructor and set that up. Actually, I'm afraid it was talked about just a couple days ago, but it's a good point, Steve, and we're working on doing that.
Yeah, I should also add, if I may, I've been seeing doctors over the last year and a half, and when I go to try to explain the sighted guide, many of the female doctors or people don't want us to hold their elbows, males holding their elbows, I hold their wrists, or I have to make adaptations, so you need to be aware of that. It's not a strict hang on your elbow, hold on your elbow, and be guided. So be aware of that.
Yeah, Steve, I will just say is that as the person who supervises the three O&M instructors who do serve adults, the pandemic has presented a lot of challenges in terms of adapting sighted guide techniques for our current, you know, public health reality. But I think that the O&M instructors are continuing to sighted guide is often adapted for, you know, these the special needs of of each individual client, and that's probably even more the case in the last 2 years. And so I would say that all three of the mobility instructors are engaged in customizing Sighted Guide, you know, for this current reality.
So this is Eileen, talking about Sighted Guide, O&M instructors. Throughout BSBE, how many O&M instructors are there?
Five. Two in children's services, three in adult services. The staff in adult services will be lent out to VR if they're required there. But there are two in children's services. And just to say, the stumbling block that this agency confronts with hiring O&M instructors is that there aren't hardly any. There aren't people studying that craft, getting that training, getting that degree, and then available to us here in Connecticut. It is a very daunting challenge. There is one person that we're working with as an intern, someone who has done Tagalog with some of our staff, and actually we have a plan to physically kidnap that person, and whether they want to or not, make them an employee of BSBE. But joking aside, we hope that that person, because there's like practically no people becoming O&Mers. It's a real struggle for us.
Andrew, Boston has for training? Does Boston have a program for, you know, UMass Boston for training O&M instructors?
Andrew, you want me to take that one?
Please do.
Yes, so that is Eileen. In fact, where the person that Andrew referred to, who was the first person to do an internship at BSBE in some while, and that internship was coordinated at, you know, a considerable involvement with all five of the current mobility instructors. David Furland in adult services was the primary contact, but he made very certain that all five of the current mobility instructors worked with our intern, and all of them devoted a significant amount of time to participating in that internship. And I know Catherine is not here right now, but I know that was partly an attempt to, as has been suggested, grow our own mobility instructor in children's services. So again, I can't speak for where the third mobility instructor position is in children's services, but that was frankly a big part of our agreement in agreeing to take on this responsibility for the internship.
Are there any other mobility O&M training schools in the country?
Oh, sure, yeah. Yeah, it's, you know, we, in fact, I know, it, just to say that when we were filling our position that we hired for last year, we reached out to quite a number of, there's not that many on the East Coast, but we made sure that we were reaching out to our regional training programs.
Is salary an issue?
We did not find it an impediment to recruiting in adult services, I would say. We in fact hired someone from out of state who was very, very happy to come to Connecticut had been working in Illinois for a considerable amount of time as a mobility instructor, and is now doing a great job here in Connecticut. Was very excited to come to Connecticut for this opportunity.
Any further questions for Amy or Cheryl?
Yeah, Mr. Chairman.
Sure,
I have one question for Amy as far as hiring of a director